If you had converted me to bisexuality, I probably would have had some actual fun in the last 10 years instead of just libertarian conferences. Hi, I'm Tim Cavanaugh from Reason TV. We're here with Star Child, who's a pro-freedom activist and Libertarian Party candidate for school board in San Francisco right now. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, Tim.
And this is a special moment for me. You are actually the person who converted me to libertarianism. I called you up probably more than 10 years ago now for an interview for Suck.com, a quick Q&A, and peppered you with all of the kind of nonsense reductio questions that people do, you know, when they're still in the just hanging out at a roadside men's room looking to get picked up part of libertarianism. How is anybody going to walk on private sidewalks? All this kind of nonsense. And you really had great responses to everything, and I appreciate that.
Well, the funny thing is, I didn't know this until Tim told me this like 2 minutes ago, and I'm impressed and kind of amazed, because at the time I thought, as I was saying, you were libertarian already, and I thought, you know, this is such a great interview because you weren't going easy on me.
You're also an erotic services provider to both genders, and I was going to say, if you had converted me to bisexuality, I probably would have had some actual fun in the last 10 years instead of just libertarian conferences.
No, it is true. Woody Allen said it doubles your chances of a date on Saturday night.
There you go. So you're in San Francisco. What's not the first city anybody thinks of when they think of libertarianism? So what's it like being in the city by the bay?
Well, San Francisco traditionally has been a really wild place. If you go back to the gold rush, it was very anarchistic, and they used to have parades of prostitutes, you know, down Market Street every Saturday. The San Francisco Libertarian Party, by the way, lpsf.org, has a terrific actual video footage on Market Street. It's amazing. I mean, it really shows how things worked without traffic laws. I mean, people, you know, you could count the things that people were doing, which today would be legal violations.
Yeah.
You could walk right in front of the buses. You know, there's cars, but there were still horses and things as well, just crisscrossing all different angles and directions. San Francisco has this great history, and in many ways, it still is culturally a very libertarian place. I got the feeling with your question that you were focused mostly on economics, but we really shouldn't forget the social side of it. And in the social aspect, San Francisco is today, I think, a very libertarian city by American standards.
This has been a recurring thing in libertarian history of, you know, now's the time to start siding with the left. There's the libertarian movement now. It never takes off. Why is that? Why does the left constantly, you know, provide less welcoming ground than the right?
This is a really good and interesting question. It goes into a whole bunch of different areas, I think. Ayn Rand, perhaps the biggest single influence on libertarians as far as individuals who've had an influence on the libertarian movement. She was brilliant, and she did the movement a lot of good in many ways, radicalizing people, but I think she also did the movement a lot of harm in many ways. The libertarians became, I think, very enamored of big business through her influence, very selfish in their worldview. I don't mean selfish entirely in a bad respect, but in terms of how libertarians were seen by others. You could contrast that sort of approach to libertarianism with like the Mary Ruart approach. She's the author of the book Healing Our World, which I think does a terrific job of describing libertarianism in terms of social harmony and non-aggression and doing the right thing by your neighbor and people getting along and stuff like this.
What do you think, and I say this as a former San Franciscan, current Angeleno, and, you know, enemy of the state, but if I wanted to make the case for good government, for a city that works fairly well, I would point to San Francisco. And if I wanted to make the case of, you know, a city fallen into total chaos, I would point to L.A. Is there anything, am I just not getting the right picture?
Well,
there?
You know what's good about San Francisco in terms of how its government works is the populace is very politically active. Now, their instincts are not always very good, obviously, especially on the economic issues, but they are very involved and aware, and that does tend to keep government, I think, pretty accountable to the people in some respects compared to what goes on in other places.
Something that we talked about years ago and actually has now come to pass, unfortunately, is open primaries. California's voters approved an open primary law, which effectively everybody can participate in the primaries, and the Democrat can vote for the Republican in the primary, vice versa. But then the top two vote getters run against each other in the general election. which means the only election that actually gets any turnout, you have only two choices.
It limits the ability of parties to control who represents them, and what that does is it dilutes ideas. We want parties to have different viewpoints. I mean, here's an interesting thing. I've noticed that the word ideology and people being ideologues and so forth has really gotten a bad rap lately. It seems like this is something that people always talk about negatively. They're being ideological. You know, well, I think, you know, ideology is frequently a very good thing. It all depends what your ideas are. If you have good ideas, then ideology is great. If you have bad ideas, then it's not great, but it's certainly not automatically bad.
Where do you see California going and the Libertarian Party going in California?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know. I mean, I'm so frustrated with the many aspects of the party. What we really need is a libertarian mass movement, something from the bottom up that you know, really has the potential to transform society. The Libertarian Party is probably still the single largest libertarian organization, but the Libertarian Party is not doing the things that it needs to do, I think, like, you know, really reaching out to youth. It's a failure of imagination, I think, to a large degree among libertarians. Libertarians still kind of tend to accept a lot of the basic ground rules of the game. They don't look to people who were thinking outside the box with political parties, like the Black Panthers. You know, which is not to say that the Black Panthers were good in their ideology. I mean, they weren't that libertarian, but in terms of their methodology, we need a libertarian Che Guevara. We need people who can capture the popular imagination because they really, you know, take personal risks and they're fiery and they stand for their beliefs.
Why do you think it is that the one who has captured the public imagination is the most unassuming, uncharismatic, you know, undynamic figure, Ron Paul? Yeah.
You know, I think it's because Ron Paul has real authenticity to him. And that's very rare in politics at his level. And I think that comes through. People look at Ron Paul and they can see, okay, he's not the most polished speaker, but he's really speaking from the heart. He really doesn't seem like somebody, and I don't think he is somebody, who is particularly interested in power. You know, he's a very humble guy, and I think people find that incredibly refreshing. Cause you got something you took over.